Well, the book of Genesis, chapter 45, please. Book of Genesis and chapter 45. We read in verse 1, at the end of verse 1 of Genesis 45, Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Joseph made himself known. Then in verse 3, Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. Let us just bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we think of this amazing, dramatic scene of these brothers suddenly realizing that the one, this great ruler who stood before them, was indeed their brother. Oh Lord, help us to enter into this scene. But help us, Lord, to see Christ, the greater than Joseph. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been many great and wonderful stories recorded of family reunions and reconciliations, of division and enmity coming into families or groups, and then the groups being reconciled. A great reunion, fellowship restored. But in Genesis 45, you have one of the most amazing, most astounding stories of a family being reconciled, of brothers being made one again, of love and friendship being restored. Truth is stranger than fiction. If this was read in a novel, you would say, I don't believe it could happen. But it's true. God engineered these events. Now, it's been 22 or 23 years since 10 brothers of Joseph hated him, were filled with envy, took him, took off his garment, said, you shall not reign over us, and they sought to kill him. But then when it was shown to them they could make a bit of money out of selling him, they sold their own brother. What hatred, what bitterness, what enmity. How could Joseph and his brothers ever be brought together to love one another again and to be one as brothers should? Well, we've been reading the chapters of how God engineered the various events in his providence, how he sent the famine, how the brothers came to an end of themselves, physically speaking, and they had to go to Egypt. And they don't know it's Joseph, the ruler, and they can't understand why the ruler in Egypt took notice of them. There were quite a few others must have come for bread, for food. But yet they were picked out. And this great ruler asked them all about the family. Have you a father? Have you any other sons? And asked all about them, and then told them if they come back again, you'll have to bring your youngest brother with you. In the meantime, he kept Simeon as a hostage. And they, in fact, spent a few days in jail. And he's using events to cause them to remember what they had done to Joseph. They're almost parallel events. Of course, we talked then in the previous chapters how Jacob was not happy at all and opposed bitterly the sending of Benjamin. He said, Joseph's gone, I don't want to lose Benjamin. But the famine became so bad that he relented and Benjamin went with his 10 half-brothers down to Egypt. Judah, of course, said, I will be a surety for him. If anything happens to Benjamin or accused of anything, I'll take his punishment. I will bear the blame. Of course, there's the whole incident of the silver cup last week. We talked about it. And how Judah said to Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph, the Egyptian ruler in his eyes, he said, let the lad go. If my father hears that Benjamin doesn't come back, it'll kill him. And here's this man, he had no feelings for his father 22 years ago. He said, let the lad go, I will take his blame. Let me take his place. And Joseph knew the brothers had changed. He knew they'd changed. They'd repented of their sin. And he could contain himself no longer. And he sends the Egyptians out of the room. And he weeps. And it's amazing in the first verse here when it talks about, verse 2, weeping aloud. It's so loud that even outside the door in the house, the servants can hear him. So it wasn't just a little. He's weeping so vocally that the sound carries through the doors and the walls. He's overcome with emotion. And he hugs these brothers. And he reveals himself to stand in utter amazement. Utter amazement. Now, there are many lessons in this story, and people have written books and preached sermons on how we can be reconciled to others individually in the church or in our own families and so on. And that is important. It's important to be reconciled to other humans. But primarily, Joseph's story is recorded in the Bible to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been studying Joseph to see the Saviour. And as Joseph engineered events to see these brothers reconciled with himself, we see parallels in how the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles we sinners to him. That's why we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So that's how we're taking it this morning. As we talk about Joseph, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are like the brothers. We rejected Christ. We said, whether by our mouth or by our actions, our life, we will not have Christ to reign over us, away with him. We are responsible spiritually for his death. It was our sins that nailed him there. So we're guilty. We're guilty. We're so like the brothers. I want you to notice the revelation that confronted them. The revelation. He said, Joseph made himself known in verse 1. He revealed himself. Now, very quickly this morning, Joseph knew them before they knew him. Joseph knew them before they knew him. Now, that's important. They had no idea who this seemingly Egyptian man was. And in fact, they never would have known him unless he made himself known to them first. That's the same in the gospel. We can tell people about the name of Jesus. People can learn about the facts. But you know, in order to be truly saved, the Lord needs to reveal himself. Salvation is when the Savior shows himself. You remember after the resurrection to the disciples in John 21, you know the Bible says, he revealed himself, he manifested himself. So, here, Joseph revealed himself. Do you remember what it says of our Savior in John 1 and 10? He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. And yet later on, a few verses later, in verse 14, you know what the Apostle John wrote? We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These brothers are going to see Joseph's glory revealed. Because Joseph chose to reveal who he was. The we that John talked about in John chapter 1 were the disciples, those to whom the Lord revealed himself. Has the Lord revealed himself to you? Have you ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is? If he has revealed himself to you, if you say this morning, I do know Jesus as my Savior, it's because he chose to reveal you. Joseph knew all about them. Remember how David in the Psalm said about, he knew me even when I was in my mother's womb. He knew my going out, my sitting down. He knew the secret thoughts of my heart. The Lord Jesus knows all about him. Every one of us. Then Joseph, listen, loved them before they loved him. He loved them before they loved him. They thought Joseph was dead. Or if maybe in their mind they thought, well, there's a possibility he may have been kept alive as a slave. But they were not seeking him. They did not love Joseph. Oh yes, they're now repenting of what they'd done years ago, but not in the true sense of love. But yeah, Joseph, in spite of what they had done to him, in spite of their hatred, in spite of their cruelty, in spite of the fact, as we read in the Psalms, that when he was down in the pit, he cried to them, and they closed their ears to his cries. They wouldn't listen to his cries. He loved them. Oh, isn't it wonderful we sang about the Lord's love? He loved us. Why? We're unlovable, humanly speaking. Why did the Lord ever set his love upon you and I? It's not that we loved him. He loved us. And any love we have for the Lord is because he loved us. John wrote about that in 1 John. But he revealed himself. There's a revelation. It's interesting he did it in a private way. He said to the Egyptians, you go out. You go out. Stood no man with them in verse 1. You go out. This is private. It's just myself and these men. The rest of you go. And the Lord Jesus Christ, today he reveals himself in a private way. I know you can be in a great gathering with a great congregation and many people. But really, even in the midst of the crowd, the Lord does come in a private way to your soul. Deals with us individually. We're born individually. We die individually. We need to be saved individually. That's what I mean by private here. He reveals himself. And he did it in a powerful way. Because in verse 8 he said, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He said, God hath made me, verse 8, a father to Pharaoh and lord of all the house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What I mean by this, Joseph reveals himself, I am the ruler. I am the one with authority. I am the one who's all over Egypt. You know, in salvation, when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to an individual, he reveals himself, yes, as the one who loved us, who forgives, who pardons, but he reveals himself as Lord. Lord. Not go into the whole controversy some years ago, do you receive Christ as Savior and take him later on as Lord? I don't believe that. You take him as Savior and Lord. There's some preachers years ago were writing books, you just accept him as Savior, then later on you may or may not choose to have him as Lord. What a nonsense. He's Savior and Lord. And Joseph reveals of his glory and his majesty and his power. But he revealed himself in a plain way. He just said, I am Joseph. Isn't that amazing? They're sitting there just, I'm Joseph. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine the devastation? Can you imagine how they must have felt? I am Joseph. What? How could it be? You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, with Saul as he then was on the road to Damascus, he's there wanting to put Christians to death, destroying the churches, putting them in prison, and all of a sudden, I am Jesus. These brothers were shocked. I am Joseph. Saul, I am Jesus. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Has Christ been revealed to you? That's what I'm saying. Has Christ been revealed to you? If he is, if he has, you'll fall the way Saul did. You remember Peter and the great draught of fish? And he saw the Lord's glory and his miraculous power. What did Peter do? He fell in the dust and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. So Joseph, I'm saying, he reveals himself. He reveals his glory. I think too of the thief. Well, two thieves. Would you remember one of them? God, the Holy Spirit, revealed to one of those thieves who Jesus Christ was that was dying beside him. And he believed in the glory and the kingdom. For he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said to the other thief, we're indeed guilty. This man hath done nothing amiss. He believed in the royalty of Christ, that he was the Redeemer. And so Joseph revealed himself. But the revelation led to reconciliation. Can you imagine the consternation when Joseph said those words? I am Joseph. It's me. He's going to kill us. He's going to get even. He's going to give us what we deserve. We deserve death. And they knew that Joseph had the power to just snap his fingers or call a servant, and they would have been kept in prison the rest of their lives or tortured to death in some awful way. And they're wondering, what is going to happen? But quickly Joseph says, I'm Joseph. And as if he says, look, I'm not going to harm you. I'm here to bless you who want to be reconciled. No matter what they had done, no matter what they had done to him, he still loved them. And he wanted to bring them into fellowship with him again. He wanted to care for them. He wanted to nourish them. I remember reading a story of a particular man. He had a black sheep in the family, one of his sons. Especially bad, wicked. The father had gone the second mile with him, and still he acted despicably. The father went the second mile, the third mile, the fourth mile, the fifth mile. Still loved his son. One of his neighbors, a close friend, said to him one day, "You see, if that son were my boy, if I got him, I'd beat him to an inch of his life. And I would give him a tongue lashing he'd never forget, and I'd put him out of the house forever. And I would never forgive him." Father looked at the man and said, "If he were your son, I would do that too, but he's not your son, he's my son. He's my son." Joseph, he wasn't doing it. Didn't reveal himself to condemn them. He revealed himself that they would be reconciled. And this is where we get to 2 Corinthians 5 we read. That God in Christ, and Paul's writing to those who are saved, that God, the Father, whom we had offended, had broken His law, He in Christ, and we had offended Him, God the Son, but He's brought us to Himself through what Christ did on the cross. He has reconciled us. He has brought us to Himself. You see, back in chapter 45 here, look what Joseph says in verse 4. "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore," verse 5, "be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." See that? It's as if Joseph is saying, "Brothers, I love you." He didn't say, "I'm Joseph, your judge." He said, "I'm Joseph, your savior." Oh, he did say that, but he said, I was sent to preserve life. Look at the end of verse 7. "God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives." He said, "I'm Joseph and I'm going to be your Savior." Isn't that how the Lord Jesus Christ, why He reveals Himself to us? It's amazing how oftentimes the word God is mentioned here. You see, verse 5, "God did send me." Verse 7, "God sent me to save you." There you have it in verse 18. "But God..." And in verse 9, "God hath made me Lord." Over and over again, God. In other words, he wasn't trying to minimize their sin. But he's saying, God had all this planned and he's worked even the evil out to his glory. Can you imagine the men on the day of Pentecost who listened to Peter preach? Remember, it was only some weeks after Christ was crucified, and many in that crowd would have said, "Away with Christ, crucify him." And Peter preaching that day in boldness, he said, "You men are guilty. You took your Messiah and crucified him. You killed him." But God lifted him out, raised him from the dead. And God's exalted him to be Lord. Imagine the feeling of those men, very like the feelings of Joseph's brothers. We're responsible. What's going to happen to us? But then Peter went on and said, "Repent. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm saying that Joseph, "I am Joseph," that was a revelation of himself, but it was to lead to a reconciliation and how he was going to care for them. There's a lovely verse, I'll not turn to it now, but over in Psalm 22, it speaks of the sufferings of Christ and then his resurrection, and it's words of Christ prophetically, "I will declare God's name to my brethren." That's exactly what Joseph's doing here, isn't it? He's saying, "God did all this. God's done it." I have to hurry on. Look at the invitation in verse 4. See, Joseph's really saying, look, there's a revelation, reconciliation. I want to care for you. I want to preserve you and your children and your children's children. And what does he say in verse 4? "Come near to me." Come near to me. What a wonderful, blessed invitation. Come. Come. The one they had wronged, the one they had hated, the one they had tried to kill. Come. I wonder, did he stand with his arms open?
I wonder, did this mighty, and remember, he's the mighty ruler. And he stands there with his arms open and he's saying, come. It's as if he's saying, come, Reuben, you come, Judah, Simeon, Levi, the rest of you brothers, come. And I imagine he did it individually. Come, come to me. I'm ready to pardon you. Come. And that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ does today. The Savior stands even here this morning with open arms and says, come. Come unto me. God the Father has been reconciling what Christ has done. He's willing to receive. That's what 2 Corinthians means. Christ has paid the price for forgiveness. And now the message is, come. And every believer is to be an ambassador. An ambassador is just someone who goes and gives a message and represents. And the amazing thing is, those who are ambassadors were once enemies of Christ. We were his enemies. But he has reconciled us. And if you're reconciled to Christ and are his, well then, you've been given a task of an ambassador to go and tell others and to say to guilty men and women, realize your guilt. You're guilty. You've offended God. But God is reconciled in Christ. And he asks you now to come and you be reconciled with him. What a wonderful message. We're to go in his name and give this message. Come, because the law is satisfied. All has been made ready. Come, don't be afraid. He called them his brother. Verse 4, I am your brother. Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And this morning the Lord Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself to you so that there will be reconciliation. And he gives the invitation. Maybe as a believer you've grown cold in the Lord. You don't love him as you once did. Well, this morning he still calls out, come. Come and be reconciled. Come back. One last word I want to show you. Jubilation. Jubilation. You see, the revelation led to a reconciliation and to an invitation. And then in verse 14 and 15, there's jubilation. You read of him weeping again. Verse 14, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. These were tears of joy. These are tears of joy. These are tears resulting from the reconciliation. Can you see it? This great ruler, to the very brothers that had sought to kill him, that had gone on eating their food as he cried to them to take him out of the pit. And each one of them, he falls upon their neck. And it says he weeps upon them as tears went down his cheek, over their face, over their neck. And he's so overcome with joy. Reminds you of the book of Zephaniah that God rejoices over we sinners who return to him with rejoicing. Doesn't it remind you of the father and the story of the prodigal son, the father waiting, and the son comes. And what does the father do? He runs. Yes, an Eastern father wouldn't have been too dignified to run. But he gathers up the long garments and he runs and he falls upon the returning prodigal son and he weeps and embraces him. What a picture of the Savior. What a picture. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. There was jubilation. And I love verse 15. Afterward, the brothers talked with him. What a conversation that must have been. Did the brothers talk about the shame and sorrow and repentance they had for the awful things they had done to him? I wonder, did he stop them? As the father of the prodigal did, said, no, listen, I've provided for you. The past is past. Your sins are forgiven. It's over. Taken care. And look at verse 11 of the chapter. This is amazing. Look at verse 11. There I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine. He said, I'm going to take. He took care of their past. Dealt with the sins of the past. He's taking care of the present. And he said, listen, I'll take care of your future. And you're going to be with me. I'm going to bring you to be with me. Isn't that wonderful? Turn over to John chapter 17. There's so much we could say in this passage, but let's just turn here for a few moments. John 17. Remember the verse we just read in Genesis 44. Joseph said, I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to take care of your families in the future. You come down to Egypt and be with me. Live with me. And that's what happened. What's the Lord doing today in heaven for you, believer? This is what Christ is praying in heaven in John 17, verse 24 of John 17. Savior's praying, high priestly prayer we call it. Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, have you thought about that? You know, this past week, that prayer of the Savior was answered. It was answered in the case of two ladies. It was. You see the words? Savior prayed that one day, Mrs. Huddleston, Mrs. McCulloch, Father, I pray that these ladies there in Northern Ireland, Father, I pray that they will be with me one day. Isn't that wonderful? If you know Christ as your Savior, that's what he is praying. Joseph said, brothers, you're going to come down and I'm going to take care of you. Isn't it wonderful we've got that promise? Speaking there at this last few days ago with Robert, Pastor's mother was talking about his dear father, some lovely stories mentioned last Sunday night, but I quoted the first part of the verse, and then Robert said, well, my dad used to quote this verse, but also the rest. Look at the rest in verse 24, that they may behold my glory. Isn't that wonderful? See, Joseph said, go back up and get my father and get the rest of the family, that they will be with me too. That they as well will behold my glory. What a hope. What a hope. And when you read the story of Joseph being reconciled to his brothers and the great jubilation he had falling upon their shoulders and weeping, don't just think of the story and say, isn't that amazing, God's providence? It is. That's wonderful to know that we have a God of such providence. Ah, but listen, the story is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is our greater than Joseph. If you don't know him as Savior this morning, you can be reconciled to him and know your sins forgiven and know your past, present and future are taken care of. And believer, oh, Joseph will take you. Our Joseph, our Jesus Christ will take care of you. Will take care of you. And it's all because 2 Corinthians 5:21, we mentioned that, we read it earlier, because he who knew no sin, Christ, absolutely sinless, he became sin. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Calvary. We can be reconciled to a holy God. I, a sinner, I can be reconciled to a holy God. I can know the Lord Jesus Christ as my elder brother. I can speak with him, fellowship with him. One day we're not only going to see our Savior's glory, but the Savior said we're going to share it. What a wonderful salvation we have. Have you been reconciled? Have you? Have you been reconciled to Christ? That's the question. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we've sought to think upon this passage, and we've looked at it, we see there's so many amazing truths. But, O Lord, reinforce upon our minds now the great fact that we can be reconciled to Thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, assure every believer that no matter what comes into their life, that Thou hast prepared a home in heaven for Thy people. And one day, our Saviour will bring us home to be with him. I thank you that all is provided in the gospel. O Lord, bless those who must go. Remain with those of us who remain around thy table, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.